Hour number two. It's Extra 1360. Just to update something we were chatting about just before the top of the hour, according to Brett McMurphy, who I believe is with an outlet called Stadium, he covers college athletics as well, told you right before we went to the top of the hour, a game that was scheduled to be played tomorrow in college football is Air Force hosting Colorado State, both schools in Colorado. We had brought this up just because we were talking about what goes on with the University of Colorado, if in fact USC, I realize I'm losing everybody here, but apparently it is concerns on the Colorado State side that has led to the postponement and or cancellation of the game scheduled for tomorrow against Air Force. So now where does this leave San Diego State? I have no idea. I have absolutely no idea. But maybe the Mountain West then prioritizes and tries to arrange Air Force in San Diego State because they're not scheduled to play. Maybe they try to get that game so that San Diego State could get a game. Does San Diego State want to play that game, or do they only want to play against the Pac-12 team? I guess we'll find out here sometime over the span of the afternoon. Switching sports. Let's say hello. That was very Bryant Gumbel-esque, wasn't it? From Real Sports on HBO. Moving on. San Diego State basketball is back on the court tonight. They will be at Viejas Arena. You can listen to the game here on Extra 1360. They're hosting the UCLA Bruins. What a great conversation we had last week with head basketball coach at UCLA, Mick Cronin. It's always a great conversation when we get Brian Dutcher on the show. So two very likable coaches tonight. First time we've ever seen UCLA here at Viejas Arena in a regular season game against San Diego State. We hope to see more of this in the future. He will be on the call tonight on CBS Sports Network. He is one of our favorites. He is Steve Lapis, former head coach at Manhattan College and Villanova, other stops along the way as well, who joins us on Extra 1360. Coach Darren Smith, appreciate your time as always.
Hey, Darren, hope everything's going well for you. You're staying healthy.
Absolutely. I wish the same for you, for your family. Early happy Thanksgiving, happy holiday season to you, Steve. So we thank you very much for joining us. I know college basketball is underway. I mean, there are games that are on television right now. What are you hearing? You know, you're as dialed in as anybody here. What are you hearing from the coaches and the ADs about how hard this is to get this thing off the ground here and start this college basketball season?
Well, it's very hard, and let's face it, it's going to be a very, very bumpy road between now and March. I think the NCAA made a good decision. Like some people say, maybe they should have started in January. I think keeping the season as long as you can is going to allow you the time because you know you're going to have cancellations. You know you're not going to – it's going to be tough getting to those 13 games for some teams. Some teams will play 22 games. Some teams will get just to 13. So I think they made a good decision doing that. But let's face it, it's going to be a rough and bumpy road. I told Mick Cronin yesterday, I said, you know, Mick, you're doing two things that I didn't have to do. I never had to coach social media, and I never had to coach the pandemic. So dealing with this has to be tough.
Yeah, and yeah, I was going to ask, because you know, Rick Pitino, who's now at Iona College, you know, you remember Iona College, Manhattan and Iona College used to play all the time. They still play all the time. But you know, Pitino, and people might think that he's not the right messenger. I would tell you that the message is an interesting one. He put it out on social media, Steve, just a couple of days ago, where he said, listen, we should be pushing this back, not just to January. And he said we should be pushing it back to March, have something called May Madness. I don't know what kind of voice Rick Pitino has, but is he a lone voice in that? Do you get the sense from other coaches that you know that they feel the same way that Rick Pitino does?
I think that's something that was thought about by the NCAA. I don't think that is really a novel idea, to be honest with you. I know it's something that I talked about with a bunch of people. And the truth is, you could still, even with the season starting where it did, if you have to, you could push the NCAA tournament back a couple of weeks if it turns out that there's so many teams that don't get in the games and things are better in this country by that time of year. So you could always push the tournament back. But I think if you started it in January, you'd be opening yourself up for not having enough time. And then, you know, you don't know what the TV responsibilities are in terms of having an NCAA tournament in May. What else is on at that time? What interferes with it? It becomes very complicated. So I think trying to do it this way was the best way. But even this can be adjusted if it needs to be.
Steve Lapis joining us on Extra 1360. He'll be on the call tonight on CBS Sportsnet. San Diego State hosting UCLA as we get the season here on the hardwood underway at 7:30 tonight. You can listen to it also on Extra 1360. You mentioned you spoke with Mick Cronin. We've all spoken with Brian Dutcher here a handful of times. What are you hearing from the coaches themselves? You know, coaches are such creatures of habit here. How have they had to adjust in the era of COVID, preparing to start a regular season, getting set for a game tonight, like the game that we're all going to watch on your network?
Well, I think everybody's in agreement, all the coaches, that as many games as you could play, the better it is for the kids. And even if it means, I know my son is an assistant coach at Fairleigh Dickinson. I give you an example. So they had a game get canceled last week for this week that they were supposed to play. And somebody else in the New York area, Hofstra, had their game canceled. And now what they do, in a week's time, they put together a game. So that's what this season's going to be like. There's going to be a lot of these impromptu games being put together because two teams had to cancel and they both are in the same. Like, again, you look at Colorado State and Air Force, or a Colorado and Air Force maybe getting together if they end up having a game canceled. So these are the kind of things that people have to roll with. And both Brian Dutcher, we talked to Brian also, these guys know it. And it's all about how can we play as many games for these kids as possible who played their whole lives so they can play basketball, and at the same time, keep everybody as healthy as possible. So I think just worrying about those two things, I think most coaches understand that.
Tonight's game is such an interesting one. UCLA is ranked 22nd. Mick Cronin, reigning Pac-12 Coach of the Year. San Diego State, Steve, we remember the last conversation that we had. We were talking about whether they were going to be a 2 seed, you know, what sort of seed were they going to be. They had high expectations. Both of them, when they hit the pause button in March, had reason to think UCLA was in Vegas for the Pac-12 tournament. San Diego State had been eliminated in the Mountain West Conference title game. What's the sense you get about how excited these two teams are, these two coaches are, these two programs are, just to get back on the hardwood tonight and play a game given where it was when their seasons ended last year?
I mean, they are really excited because, let's face it, it was a bad taste for both programs. Both programs had great years. San Diego State had a historic year, going 26-0 before losing a couple of games at the end of the year. So both coaches, both programs are so excited to play, I can't tell you. And that seems to be the feeling for everybody. And, you know, you got to give these kids credit. I mean, they lost out the kids on UCLA and San Diego State and obviously other really good teams around the country. To lose that opportunity to play in the NCAA tournament that you've been waiting for your whole life is really, really a tough pill to swallow. So everybody's excited to get back on the court. But I got to tell you, what I've been in that building at Viejas and called many, many games from there, as you know. But to be in there with no one tonight, boy, I don't know what that's going to be like.
Right. I mean, that is going to be such a missing element, right? I mean, this is going to be your first game of the season, obviously. What are you expecting just in terms of environment, impact, that the show and so many of these other great student sections, the impact that they make, you know, it becomes a real thing. You know, students will tell you sometimes that they have trouble concentrating because of the level of noise, the decibel level inside some of these gyms here. How are the coaches preparing for that? Just to replace energy when it is, you know, that it's going to need to be replaced, obviously, in the absence of the student body.
Well, I got to tell you, between the two coaches, the guy who's happiest about this tonight, not no one's happy about it. I'm just, you know, it's kind of right. Tongue-in-cheek that I'm saying it, but is Mick Cronin. He's coming into that building and not have to face the show, which, you know, everybody knows about what a great home court it is. But I can tell you this, and I said this to somebody the other day. I grew up in New York City, and we played pickup games in the park at the Dyckman Housing Projects at 9 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday, and nobody was watching. They were pretty intense games. So I guarantee you that the game itself is going to be a heck of a game and a very intense game. Sure. Is that environment going to be missing? No doubt about it. But those kids on both teams, I think they're going to really come to play.
Steve Lapp of CBS Sports joining us on Exit 1360. You can listen to the game tonight. You can watch the game on CBS Sports Network. Steve Lapp will be on the call. So, San Diego State, you mentioned it, 26-0 last year, and at worst, they were going to be a 2 seed. It seemed like every time we spoke last season, this is what exactly we talked about, how San Diego State should be seeded. They lose Malachi Flynn. He's the Mountain West Conference Player of the Year, the Defensive Player of the Year. He's a first-round draft pick. He was selected by the Toronto Raptors. How do you compare this year's team, before we see it, how do you compare what we're expecting with this year's team to what we saw last year and what we remembered about the 2019-2020 Aztecs?
You got to figure that losing a guy like Malachi Flynn, who controlled everything for you for 40 minutes. I mean, he was one of the most under control cerebral, besides talent, point guards that was anywhere in the country. And obviously, it speaks to the fact that he was drafted in the first round by the Toronto Raptors. So he was a tremendous player. He's going to be a tough guy to replace. But there's a lot back. And one of the things, Jim, we know San Diego State historically from when Steve Fisher built this thing, and now Brian Dutch is doing what he's doing. You know they built everything based on defense. They are still going to be a great defense. Matter of fact, they might be a better defensive team because Mensah's back, who was probably, you know, he's their best shot blocker. He's a tremendous athlete in the middle. So this team is going to be great defensively. Throw that in with the fact that probably the best three-point shooting team that, I mean, I haven't seen them yet, but you talk about Shackle, Matt Mitchell, and now Terrell Gomez, those three guys on the perimeter, you're talking about potentially a great three-point shooting team. So you combine the defense that they play with the fact that this team, last year's team was a great three-point shooting team. They shot 37%. They made 9 a game. I think this team is probably a better three-point shooting team. So you know they're going to defend. This team can score, I think. Will they be as good as last year? Hey, no, I don't think they're going to be 26-0, but you know what? You never know.
So, like 25-1? What do you think? 24-2?
Well, they got a tough one tonight. Let me tell you that. They're playing the team that they're picked one in the Mountain West, and UCLA's picked one in the Pac-12. So, you couldn't have a better game to start the year on the West Coast.
No doubt. Absolutely. The history, given the state of both programs, two coaches with Midwest roots, two guys who have been around the game for their entire lives. Going back to Malachi Flynn just for a second, though, because your point's an interesting one about the quality of the team overall, that maybe it won't be reflected in the record, right? Maybe they won't win the map. Maybe they will. But they relied, like Malachi Flynn, we knew that was their go-to guy, right? You needed a bucket at the end of the game. You get the ball to Malachi Flynn. Most of the time, he's going to make a bucket. He's going to take a shot. He hits game-winning shots, or he's going to make the right decision. Who now do they rely on for that? You know, who do they rely on? Is it Shackle? Is it Mitchell? Is it somebody else? Who do they rely on to have the ball go through this player at the end of a close game?
I would probably bet Matt Mitchell because, you know, I mean, don't get me wrong. Shackle is a really good spot-up three-point shooter, but he's not really going to create his own. I think Matt Mitchell is capable of creating his own shot, and especially when he's playing the four spot, like he did last year after Mensah got hurt. He became the four man really for the whole year. He's a tough cover for another team's four man because he can really put the ball on the floor. He's a tremendous shooter. So I think in those situations, it's going to go through Matt Mitchell. Now, I've got to see what Terrell Gomez has. And you know, don't get me wrong, Trey Pulliam is a really good player, and he's probably going to be the starting point guard, but he's different. He can set other people up. We haven't seen him really set up for himself yet. So if I had to guess, if we're going to put the ball in somebody's hands and say, make a play, it's going to be Matt Mitchell, or you're going to see Trey Pulliam try to break somebody down, hope the Shackles man leaves him, and he's able to kick it to him, and he can knock it out. But I would say off the bounce, Matt Mitchell's probably the guy.
You spoke with Mick Cronin, head coach at UCLA. How's UCLA's approach to this one? You know, it's interesting because under normal circumstances, right, like we would think that San Diego State is going to use UCLA as some sort of measuring stick. In fact, even though they're the ranked team heading into the gym tonight, I almost get the sense, at least from what I hear or what I've read, Stephen, you would know that sometimes maybe this is a little bit of coach speak, that UCLA sort of looking at this as, all right, well, this is a really, really good test for us to find out how good we are playing outside of Pauley Pavilion for a change early on in the season and playing up against a team and a program the caliber of San Diego State. It feels like both are using the other one here to see how good they actually are in the first game of the regular season.
Well, you think about this. You know, you're Mick Cronin and you're in your second year, but you really didn't have that NCAA tournament at the end of the year. Yes, you were going to be an NCAA tournament team, no doubt about it. But you really didn't have that NCAA tournament to see what you had under those conditions. So they are still, I think Mick is trying to sell to his guys because he's concerned about them being overconfident when he feels like they haven't really accomplished anything since they haven't been in the NCAA tournament yet. I think he is trying to get through to his guys that you're playing a team that's established, that has a culture, that has, which they have, and they do, you know, for a long period of time, and this is a measuring stick for us. So Mick is trying to take his program into have a culture and be the way that San Diego State is. So I think that's the approach that he's coming at his guys with. No, we have not. Yeah, we had a nice year last year, yeah, we were going to be in the NCAA tournament. Guess what? There was no tournament, so we didn't get a chance to play. So we don't really know how good we are. This is a good measuring stick for us to start.
And it's been pointed out here that San Diego State, Brian Dutcher lost an assistant coach a couple of years ago when Mick Cronin got this job at UCLA, right? Is that something here that you in coaching circles would think is a big deal, not a big deal here? What is it, Rod Palmer? Does that sound right from San Diego State to
UCLA?
No,
I think guys are pros. They know this stuff goes on all the time. Guys, you know, for different reasons go wherever they're going to go. So, I mean, I'm going to guess, and I have not spoken to either coach about it, I'm going to guess that it's not a factor tonight.
Okay. I wasn't sure. Maybe there was some deep intel there. If there was some classified information that you might be able to, some privileged information that you would take with you from a couple of years ago that could be relevant here tonight.
I got nothing for you there.
Have a great broadcast. Have a great Thanksgiving, Steve. We appreciate your time as always.
Thanks, Dan. We'll talk to you.
You got it. Steve Lapis, everybody, CBS Sports Network. He'll be on the call tonight as San Diego State gets set to host UCLA. Yeah, it was one, you know, these coaches, they bounce back and forth all the time, and the longer and longer they're gone, but at least they might know some tendencies, things along those lines, things that you might think factor in terms of, you know, what somebody likes to do in certain situations. Do that, you know, hey, we know that he's not going to guard the ball on an inbound play at the end of the game. Or we know that they're going to, you know, foul if they're up by three late in the game before you get to half court, right? Like some of those sorts of things. I don't know that I got the head coach, the assistant coach right. But there was an assistant coach that left from San Diego State to UCLA when Mick Cronin got that job before last year. I just, you know, it wasn't Dave Velasquez, obviously. It wasn't somebody whose name we would know. And forgive me, it was just a short timer, but I don't know that that is or isn't. Steve Lapis doesn't seem to think that that's a big deal at all. So it's underway tonight. And it is interesting, too. And you know, it yet again is another way for us to say, hey, remember back when nobody cared about San Diego State? And whoever would have thought that UCLA would be thinking about, wow, this is going to be an interesting measuring stick game for us heading into Viejas Arena trying to see how we stack up against San Diego State. You almost would think that San Diego State was the ranked team in this game. Not that those rankings mean a whole heck of a lot, but you almost get the sense that UCLA is approaching this game like it's them going someplace where they would pull the upset against a ranked UCLA team. Not the way it feels for people in San Diego State. Like, no, we're going up against the ranked team. I think it'd be easier to coach San Diego State tonight because, oh, well, this is a once-in-a-program, potentially, opportunity for you guys, given these circumstances, to have the UCLA Bruins in your building in a regular season game. We've seen other ranked teams. We've probably seen better teams go in there and play San Diego State before during the regular season. But we've never seen a ranked UCLA basketball team in that building playing San Diego State.
If there were fans, if fans were allowed to be there, and if they were, of course, the place would be packed, would they storm the court if they beat UCLA?
It's a great question.
So what happens? What happens tonight? Who's allowed in there?
I mean, I don't think anybody's allowed
in
there.
Family?
Matter of fact, now I'm regretting that I didn't ask Steve Lapis if he's allowed in there tonight or if he's calling the game off a monitor.
I think he said he was going to be there.
He made it sound like
it was going to be there because it's going to be really, really eerie for him to be there without all the fans and the noise and how loud it would be.
Now, here's one question I don't know the answer to.
Well, this is the show of I don't know.
Last time we had Brian Dutcher on, we asked what they were doing in terms of crowd support, what they were going to do in terms of piped in noise. And forgive me if I've missed this, but
when you talk
has this been reported on?
I don't think so.
They're going to do inside of the gym?
I don't think so. But when you talked to him, he was talking about testing out different sorts of audio.
Yeah.
Right? They were working with the crowd noise and they were going to figure out the right levels or whatever. But I don't know anything else. Are they going to have there are going to be cardboard cutouts, right?
Hey, John Schaefer, can you text this show?
Yeah, because I mean, we were able. You could buy cutouts. So you'll
good.
Have. Yeah.
Did you buy one?
No. Me? Did I? I did not. I don't take good pictures. Not photogenic.
I mean, you post selfies all the time.
I do?
Yeah.
No, I don't.
I mean, if you want, I'll tweet out a bunch of selfies.
Go for it.
Of you.
Go ahead.
What?
I mean, I mean, do you want me to go scroll through your accounts and post all the selfies that you take?
I take a picture of just me. Like, what am I doing? Like, smiling?
It's a selfie.
No, it's not.
You're thoroughly confusing the hell out of Darren. He's like, wait, no, that's a selfie.
Isn't it, Jim?
Yes, no. It's a selfie. When you take a picture of yourself, that's a selfie.
Go ahead.
I don't know what she's talking about.
What?
What is she talking about? Anyway.
I don't know.
I don't know either. I just I don't take pictures of myself and post them on social media. What are you talking about?
What are you talking? I don't.
All right. I'm not going to go through this. I don't. I just don't have the energy for it today. I just don't. I'm sorry. All right, Marty, you're right. You never post pictures of yourself.
No.
Ever. Mm-mm. Anywhere.
Nope.
Anytime.
Never.
Never.
Never happens.
That you take
nope.
yourself with your own device.
Nope.
It never happens.
That's not me.
Ever.
Uh-uh.
All right. Let's make some calls. Where's John Schaefer? Like, are they pumping in sound? Are they pumping in the show? Is there going to be an I Believe thing going on? What are they doing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Greg Rosenthal, NFL, when we come back.